question.
Yes.
On the lesson of spiritual welfare, warfare, under the caption, rely on God's spirit, you were saying some don't know how God's will works. And that was with the scripture of Romans 8, 26 to 27. So the Holy Spirit intercedes for us.
Yes.
He knows what we need, but he doesn't overpower us and make us do it.
Right.
So is it that more or less like he brings scripture to mind? So you know what?
That's a good point, because that can be, but a big part of us taking in, he empowers when we work in line with faith through the word. So he empowers us to do it. He strengthens us when it's this walk by the spirit. Like, for instance, the term self-control we use in the Bible. When I using what I think I'm going to do to stop or to make myself do something, I'm not using the spirit of God, and it's not going to force me. However, when I follow what the word says in order to control self, and that's throughout the Bible in that sense, then the spirit engages and it gives me the power to do it. Does that make sense? Kind of.
I guess I'm not getting the power. Because you say he empowers us with the word. I get that we go by a scripture, which would empower us to do or
no,
show
I'm,
us what
I mean,
he right.
literally gives so, us the ability. Does that make sense? I mean, he literally gives us the ability to do it. When a person can't do it, it's because they're not relying on him. In your silence, I hear confusion.
I'm thinking.
Okay, you're thinking.
It's that. Stop thinking that. So if we're thinking that we're doing it by scripture, that means that we're still thinking that we're doing it, instead of thinking that this is the power of God helping us do it.
Yep. A lot of people who think, and this is where we, this is why I first, why it's so it takes us to mature first. This is why he first started off saying, crave pure spiritual milk. Because you first start doing that, you'll grow in the word. Then later, when he said you're slow to learn, what he's saying to the people is we have to go from babes to maturity before we really start grasping and understanding this stuff. There's a lot of people who are still babes and are going to die as babes because they still allow emotion. They still allow sight. They still allow all that other stuff to come into play. They want to feel something. They still want to see something like what we just read on grace giving. You still have some that give and they're watching. They're looking to receive more or looking to receive less. They're still working off of how they feel, their intellect of things. A Christian reads it and they do it. And they're studying the word to do that even better based on what the word said. Their whole goal is I'm reading this as I'm doing it. It was like I used to say when me and my wife first got married and I was a dumb young man before I grew up to be an older dumb old man. When I read the instructions to build something, I would put stuff together and stuff be on backwards and I had to do it again, or I just leave it that way and it was a mess. When I started following instructions, even when it looked weird to me, I'm like, that's what they wrote, that's what I'm going to do. And most of the time everything came together perfectly because I just did what it said. That's a person being led by the spirit, just doing what it said. And I felt at many times when I was doing it, why would they want me to put this on first when it would make it more sense to put this on first? And I could use a hammer for this. Why did he want me? And I would just do it when I got older. And as I started putting things together and just following the instructions and just following what it says, it gave me insight, because that's what the Bible is saying. Just do what he says. Too many of us do it. Then we try to think about it and we try to understand it. And we lean on our own understanding instead of just trusting him. And then you don't engage the spirit. So that's why you'll go, oh, God, this is so hard. It's hard because you keep trying to do what the spirit's supposed to give you the power to do. And how do you get the spirit to do it? Just do it. Just do it and trust him, if that makes sense.
So is this totally different than what Paul was saying when he was saying he wanted to know the resurrection of Christ's death? The different things he said he wanted to know about the power. Is this the same thing or different?
It's exact same thing. But because look at how he said he wanted to do it. See, I'm glad you said that, because if we turn to Romans 8, look at how he's saying it, because in that verse, he's breaking it down on how he wants to know it, because a lot of us want to know it in our intellect or in our feeling. You understand that? And that's, once again, we try to understand it. We want to lean upon our own understanding. And this is why God can be disappointing to us, because he doesn't fit our own understanding. But if you notice, when he goes into it, he says, what'd you say?
I was saying, I just read it. Can't remember where it was either.
Yeah, I'll find it. I can, once again, thank God for technology. Because I wouldn't have it. Whatever it was. Here it is. Oh, that's not it.
Is it Philippians 3?
Philippians 3. Thank you very much.
Yes, that's it.
And if you just look at the first one, thank you so much, sis. That first one sums up the whole thing he's saying. He said, whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss. Watch this, for the sake of Christ. You understand? He's basically saying, I have to get rid of all this stuff in order to truly know Christ. He says, he's basically saying, I really want to know Christ, but in order for me to really know Christ, I got to get rid of me. And many have not done that. We still come in with our own desires, our own feelings, our own whatever, and still want to know Christ. And he's, and when Jesus basically lets us know, if you don't give up everything, you cannot be my disciple. And I keep stressing to y'all, he's not saying, I'm not going to let you be my disciple. What he's saying is, it's impossible. He was like, you can't do that. You can't have your own values, your own feelings, your own wants, and still know him. You won't be able to have that relationship. And that's what people keep doing. We carry our baggage, go, okay, God, I'm here to have a relationship with you. He's like, you already blew it. And people keep trying to do it. We're bringing our baggage, our ways, our thoughts, our attitudes. That's why you see people, what should happen is when a person changes to a Christian, you see a joy, you see a peace, you see something coming out of them. And not just in the way the world sees, different than what they were, but we still come with the same attitude, same wants, same whatevers, and all that stuff still happens because we carried it in, thinking I'm not changing anything and I'm going to have a relationship, and we have no relationship. But what Paul said, I consider them rubbish, I consider them a loss, I get rid of all of that in order to have a relationship with him. So he's saying, I get rid of all this stuff and I'm just going to do what you say. Now what that means is, sometimes you're going to read something, it's going to hit every nerve, but your nerves don't matter anymore. It's going to go against every dream, but your dreams don't matter anymore. It's going to go every desire, but your desires don't matter anymore. So then desires and all that other stuff play a very backseat to it. They all go, I only could come into play if it never gets in the way of me knowing him.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Can I ask you one more question on this lesson, spiritual? Sure. So when you talked about him being possession and oppression. Mm-hmm. So when you read about in the scripture, when they talk about people being possessed,
yeah,
most of the times it seems like, anyway, ones I can remember anyway, that the people were violent, that were possessed by a demon.
In some cases,
so yeah. I'm not saying it was always, but I don't know. But so, can someone be possessed? How do you know the difference with someone if they're being possessed, or some people are just evil? You know, just evil and everything they did, or mean, or everything they do. Is there a difference that, you know, that you know, they are?
Not really, no. Because they're either going to be acting by the sinful nature, which is the flesh, or they're going to be possessed, one or the other. So it's not a big, you can't, because remember the woman who had the predicting spirit, which was still a demon, she was a normal person. And she was able to tell the future, and the people were making money off her. So she was just a normal person with that power from this demon. So as far as she was concerned, the society, she was good until they got rid of it. People have probably seen it as a gift. And that's why they were ready to kill Paul and them because of it. You understand? But it was a demon. So it's not for us. If you notice, one thing the Bible doesn't tell us is how to look for it. It just tells us how to deal with the spiritual. So in these cases, is we would really, and I think we'd have a better insight on it if we were more spiritual. I think times we don't see this because we've blended together and we really can't see the difference. We've allowed intellect to come in. And now we see all of them as mental illness and allowed a lot of medication and stuff to come into play. So either which way, we got to first grow spiritually to be able to deal with it in that way. But that's a big part of it. But it doesn't give a distinguish between the two that clearly all the time. Sometimes it does stand out, but there's other times, and not just even with a person being mean, sometimes it was an illness. There are some that are physically ill, that's their body. And then there are some that were possessed that gave the symptoms of being ill. And you don't know. You understand that? Just like in the Bible, it shows some people are ill because God allowed it in their lives to glorify him. And some people are ill because of something they did. Do you understand that? You know, sometimes you get stuff because of something you did in the Lord and you got blessed by it. And sometimes you get stuff because God gave it to you because you're supposed to do something with it in his will. All of this works in us just focusing on staying within his will. If we don't get that, we want signs. Give me a hint, God. Give me a guess. Give me, you know what I mean? And the reason why we want that is because we don't want to walk in his ways, but we want him to give us the answers.
Thank
Amen.
You.
Absolutely. Other question.
Hi.
Hey, sis.
In June, this is from the lesson, June 8th, 10, about them polluting their own bodies. Are they talking about by teachings and beliefs or what?
And stuff that they're doing to their own bodies. Like they would have sex outside of marriage. They would do rituals. They would put stuff in their bodies. They would, you have people that take drugs today and they call it a spiritual awakening or spiritual whatever. Stuff like that. So polluting their own body. They're doing stuff to their bodies that's not meant for the body.
Okay. And so the other questions is also about the lesson and the way I wrote it, I don't know what I'm saying. But 2 Peter 2,
mm-hmm.
I think it's 12. We're talking about blaspheme against God or sacred and sacred things. What does it mean about blaspheming sacred things?
So when it says in 2 Peter, because remember, he used the word blaspheme against evil, but they were talking about celestial beings first, but then they were talking about blaspheme. Because blasphemy, the real term of blasphemy is saying something about something for an evil purpose. You know what I mean? It's like slander. You understand that? And you would say it in a spiritual way as if it came from God. That's what makes it blasphemy. So when I say something against something, and I use it based on God. So it can either be against God or it could be something of God. Now, Satan, of course, not of God, but when I'm speaking for God about Satan, I'm out of line. Does that make sense?
You said or for God against Satan?
Mm-hmm. Or anything else. That's me speaking for it. Like if I were to tell you I have the power of God to blah, 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 that's me, that's blasphemy. Because I'm speaking for God and God's going, I didn't say that. You see where I'm going with that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that was very common, especially with the false teachers. They would come and say, I have the power to do this with Satan. And watch this. I have the power to do that. And we're looking at our Bible. Where does it say I have the power to do this? And where the power I have the power to do that? He'll say, I give you authority. And we could do a whole study on authority because there's two words in the Bible, which means authority. One means power. That means the ability to. And then the other one means authority. And that means permission to. And people mistake it, and then of course they run with it, and then you get these people that just speak, and they're just like, "I can do this. I have the authority to do this, and whatever." And God's saying, "I didn't say that. That's blasphemy because I'm speaking for God on something that God didn't give me authority to." It's like the sons of Sceva. That's why they were so unprotected that the man was able to jump on them and beat them senseless and naked because they were totally outside of what God told them was their protection. So that's blasphemy, not against Satan, but you're blaspheming against God because you're using God in a place that God didn't say to be used.
Okay, makes sense. The other question I had was about you may have addressed this before, and I feel like I should know the answer, but I really can't think what the answer is. When it's talking about Romans 7:25. And we're talking about the law of sin and the law of God. So the law of sin, does that have to do with the Old Testament or laws, man making up laws or what?
So in the law of sin, so why it's called the law of sin, okay? And in so you take the Old Testament and the law, or what we call the Ten Commandments, and there was much more than the Ten Commandments, but it was all the laws that was done in the Mosaic law. Why they call it the law of sin is it was because it was us trying to do it. That law was based on us trying to do it. Now, it was definitely, we were set up to fail in that sense, but it wasn't set up to fail. It was set up to prove that you can't do it. You understand? But it's called the law of sin because now it's me trying to do, to be righteous. That's what the Mosaic law was. God's law is through grace. It's me relying on him. Does that make sense? That's why he ends it in Romans 7. He says, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. Because remember, every time you want to do what the law said, your body said you didn't want to do it. He said, I do what I do not want to do, but it's sin living in me. In other words, that law showed me myself can't do it without God. And that's why he says, what a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. So it depends on what I'm living for. If I am focusing, that's why he says in my mind, on living for God, I'm going to do what God says, despite how I feel, despite what I want. However, if I go by my nature, I'm going to live for what I want and how I feel. Even if how I want and what I feel is, I call it godly, it's not going to be for godly because it's based on how I feel. That's why you have those Christians that sometimes can be Christian, sometimes not, because they're really not living for God. They're living for their feeling that they call God.
Got it. Thank you.
Yep. Other questions? And that question, even on this, they're deep conversations that you really get into when you really get it. Because once we get it, it takes us as individuals to understand it and go, oh, I get it. Because I think what we want when we hear transformation or change or becoming Christians, we want the feelings that we have to go away. I want to feel like a new person. And the ones who are being honest going, I don't feel any different. Exactly. But it was never about feeling. What you do have is the ability not to be led by that feeling. But what Satan did brilliantly is he got us in a world that really catered to that feeling. To where why we're in terrible times right now is because we really engage that feeling and we want God to do the same thing. Other questions? All right, praise God. I hope you are blessed by this lesson. Please go through it. I always encourage you, check me, make sure the things that I'm saying, first of all, are accurate and that they're in line. Always check the word, check anybody that's teaching you anything. Don't just take their word for it. Check it by God's word. Lean upon his understanding, not your own. Don't let your feelings about things get in the way of what God is teaching us. And we will continue to grow in his word. So if we don't have any other questions, we will close out in prayer. All right. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, thank you for bringing us through this study, dear Lord. Help us to review it, to make sure it's always in line with you as well as everything that we gave, that we don't trust in man, in any man, dear Lord, that we only trust in you, put all of our trust in you. Let us walk in such a way that then we can minister what your word is telling us to others. Help us not to be influenced by our surroundings, by the world we live in, recognizing we just here for a purpose in order to minister, to bring others out of this world, not for us to be influenced by the world. We love you so much, dear Lord. We just thank you so much for the opportunities and for the things you've provided for us and the chances you keep giving us through your mercy and just the access to eternal life through your grace. Give us the understanding through your spirit and help us to get us out the way. We thank you. We love you and all these blessings we ask in your son and our savior, Jesus Christ's name. We all say,
amen.
Love you, family.